This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim. We're continuing our shiurim on Sefer Shemois, which are dedicated by the Zakheim Mishpacha, by Dr. Zakheim, U'mishpachta Leonishmas, Rav Shloima, Eliezer ben Harav Yaakov, Rivka Bas Tuvia Halevi, and Rav David ben Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyin, Regan Eden, Te Menuchasim, they should be Melitzei Shem for the whole families, Abi Yaskoel Tzedek. The shiurim of Chodesh Shavat are dedicated by the Israeli family of Great Neck, Le'iloi Nishmas, Meir ben David, whose yahrzeit is Ches Shavat, and Yeshua ben Yechezkel, Chavtes Shavat. Tonight's shiur is dedicated by the Shamalzada family in honor of all the attendees of the shiur. Even though it doesn't say that here, I don't know what happened. It got cut off. But I think I saw it on one of the earlier editions. So, thank you very much. Hashem Shemvarach, the Shamazada family, with Simcha Sanachas, for Tovas, Gezint Arbias Gal Tzedek. Tonight's shiur is dedicated by my good friends, Rabbi Aryeh and Michelle Jacobson, Le'iloi Nishmas, Rabbi Aryeh's grandmother, Bubby, Mrs. Miriam Jacobson, Miriam Basra, Avram Yehuda, Zechon Levracha, whose 12th yard site was today, the 29th day of Teves. Her Neshama Shabbat Aliyah should be a male tzioshir for her whole family, Ad Bias Goel Tzedek. Tonight's shir is dedicated by Reb Kenny Pinsauer, Lili Nishmas, his mother, Dina Bas David Chai HaKoyen, whose first yard site is next week, Zion Shvat. Tonight's shir is dedicated by the Ruzhin and Ryabinsky family in appreciation of the shirim. Okay, thank you very much. Tonight's shir is one of my all-time favorites, even though I didn't even give it yet. I wasn't sure what I was going to speak about, and I was learning Parshas Bai, which was a good parsha to learn this week. You know, that's Hashkacha Pratis. I was learning the right parsha this week. And I've learned Makas Choshech before. After I read it with Rashi, it's Kiilu, I never saw it before. I never saw Makas Choshech before. Now the foundation, no pun intended, the foundation of today's shir, you should be familiar with, because it's a principle we spoke about many, many years. But we're going to use it now to uncover layers and layers of meaning on Makas Choshech. Okay, here we go. The pasuk right before the stop, before the end of the Aliyah, it says, "Loi ra'u ish esachiv." No man saw his brother. "V'loi kamu ish mitachtav shloish es yamim." No person got up from his place for 3 days. Why? It was darkness. It was choshech. But what about for Klal Yisrael? I would have expected it to say for Klal Yisrael, it was not choshech. It wasn't black. It wasn't dark. They were able to move. They were able to be mobile. They were able to see. But that's not what it says. It doesn't say there wasn't choshech. It says, Ulcho b'nei Yisrael, ha'ya'ar b'may shvoysam. There was light. What does that mean? There was light. Where did the light come from? It was light? What, all day long it was light? What about in the nighttime? Why would it even say it was light? It was R. It should say it wasn't choshech. Then another interesting thing hit me. The pasuk before that says, "Vayet Moshe es yadai." Moshe stretched out his hand. Al hashamayim. Vayhi choshech afela b'chal eretz Mitzrayim. There was darkness, pitch black, shloish es yamim, 3 days. So that means this makkah was different than other makkahs. Other makkahs, let's talk about wild animals. So when the polar bears came, they came for a week. They moved in for a week. There's no difference between day 1 to 3 and day 4 to 6. It was one makkah. We never find by any of the makkahs, we don't find that the first 3 days it was colored water, and day 4 through 6 it was thick blood. We don't find day 1 through 3 is type O, and day 4 through 6 it was A positive. Or what are the types? Yeah, we don't find that, you know, day 1 through 3 were frogs, day 4 through 6 were toads. What's going on with Makas Choshech that there are two types of darkness, day 1 through 3 and 4 through 6? Did you ever think of that question? Were you ever bothered by that? Did you ever lose sleep over that question? What is going on with Choshech that you had 3 days and 3 days?
How do you know that it was 3 and 3 and not the same?
Three? So David said, where do you get that from? Okay, so look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Vayihi choshech afela shlosh es yamim." Choshech shel oifel, a black of darkness, shelo ro'u ish es achiv, that no man saw his brother oisan gimel yamim for 3 days. Ve'oid shloishas yamim achirim, in another 3 days choishach muchbalaza, a double darkness. Shloi kamu ishmi tachdav, nobody could move. Yoishav, if you were sitting, en yachalamad, you couldn't get up. Oimed, you're standing, en yachaleishav. So let's say you're at a shir, you're stuck. But luckily, the Magid Shir also wasn't able to. But that Rashi is uncovering that the Makkah consisted of two parts. Day 1 through day 3 was regular darkness. You couldn't see. Day 4 through day 6, you couldn't move. What's the explanation for this? Why did this Makkah come in two stages? Okay, that's the second question. Again, question number one is, what's the meaning there was light for Bnei Yisrael? What does that mean there was light for Bnei Yisrael? Why did the Makkah come in two stages? By the way, that's an awesome question, no? David, do you think it's an awesome question? Even David thinks it's an awesome question. You're learning the Makkah for how many years? Do you ever stop and think it's the only Makkah that has two parts to it? Then Rashi continues, why did Hashem bring darkness? There were Jews in that generation who were wicked, and they didn't want to leave. And they died in the 3 days of darkness, and so that the Egyptians should not see their downfall. And they would say, they're being smitten like us. Really? That's the only way God can knock off the wicked? By turning off the lights, and then these Jews died. How did they die? How did they die? Doesn't even say. So exactly what happened to these Jews? They just died? Was there a mashchis? Was there a makas rishayim? I mean, Rashi says, God turned out the light so that the Mitzrayim should not see the Jews die. But how did the Jews die? The darkness killed them? They died. You know, what is it called? The guy who comes in? somebody dies at home. It's very complicated to die at home. It's easier to die in the hospital, right? In the hospital, if you die, they let you be buried right away. If you die at home, you're in big trouble because they suspect foul play, right? So they come in, and who's the guy who comes in? The medical examiner. So the medical examiner looks at the guy, oh, he died of darkness. I mean, what killed the guy? What's Rashi talking about? There was darkness for three days so that the Egyptians shouldn't see the Jews die. But what killed the Jews? And this is the only way Hashem could knock off the Rishayim with the Mitzrayim not knowing. Let's say, how about Makas Dam? Let the Jews who are Rishayim drink blood and the Egyptians won't know about it. Or let the wild animals come and kill the, you know, let the a boa constrictor come, swallow the Rishayim, and there's no trace. You know, this is the only way that the Ribbono Shel Olam could punish the Rishayim without the Mitzrayim knowing is by turning out the light. Like, what does Makas Choshech have to do with the Rishayim? So, number one, what does it mean there was light for the Jewish people? Why is this the only Makkah that had two stages to it? 3 days and 3 days. What killed the Jews? And why did the Rishayim have to die during this Makkah? I tell you, I've learned this Makkah before. This is this year. I'm not telling you how old I am. This is not the first time I learned the Parsha with Rashi. Not only that, the whole Hakdama I'm about to tell you, I probably not only learned it before, I've said it over probably dozens and dozens of times, and I never understood Makkas Choshech. The heavens opened up this week on Monday morning, and Hashem gave me Matana Taiva. Okay, so what we're going to learn now, the introduction, we've learned many times. The approach is original, but take it to the bank. It's good stuff, okay? What? Yeah, I saw the light. Very good. Right. He won a copy of the French edition of the Haggadah. Okay, here we go. So here's the intro. The intro is very simple. What were the Makkos? If Hashem wants to punish the Egyptians, there are a lot of ways He could punish them. He can make an earthquake. The earth could open up its mouth, like it swallow all the Egyptians, and the Jews could walk out. It's clean, it's easy, you know, you don't have to get your hands dirty. And in 10 minutes, the Jews could go, me'afela l'oira. What's this? The blood, the water turns to blood? I mean, it's like a carnival. It's like the Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bainum Circus. I mean, it's ridiculous. What's going on over here? There are frogs everywhere, frogs in Paro's ears, you know, coming out of his nose, in the ovens, in his bowels. I mean, in the kneading bowls, and then the lice and the wild animals. And I like to say, had the wild animals get into the house, you know this, my routine already? I once saw in the Haggadah that octopuses came, used the suction cup to suck out the lock, and then the polar bears walked in. You never heard that before. It's in one of the Haggadahs, illustrated Haggadahs. And it has a source for that also. I don't remember what it is. Then the pasuk says, Ve'esho adama asher himaleha, which means that every animal came with its climate. So it's not like just the gorilla came. The gorilla came with the jungle, with the rainforest. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's cute for kids, but if you have an enemy and you want to knock off the enemy, just kill him. Well, what's this whole charade? 10 makos. So, the Tzrar Hamar. Well, we'll start with the Psikta, which is not on the sheet. The Psikta said, Hashem created the world with how many statements? HaKadosh Baruch created the world with 10 statements. Ba'asara ma'amarois nivra ha'ilam. God created the world with 10 statements. Vayoymer, 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 vayoymer. Vayoymer lekim yihi ar. Vayoymer lekim yihi rakia. Vayoymer lekim tadshe aretz deshe. Vayoymer lekim yikavu amayim. And so on and so forth. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah asks either only 9 statements. The Gemara says, Bereishis nami mamarhu. Bereishis is a 10th statement. Actually, all the Achroinim ask, even with Bereishis, it's only 9. It's Bereishis plus another 8. And all the Mefarshim discuss what's the 10th. Today we're going to go with the Gra and the Maral. The 10th is, Vayoymer Elohim, Hine nasati lochem eskol oichel eskol eit zoyrei azara. Food, supper is served. The creation of food. Okay? So Hashem created the world with 10 statements. The thing is, Paroi did not believe that God created the world with 10 statements. He rejected the notion that the world was created ex nihilo, something from nothing. He rejected the notion that God created the light. He rejected the notion that Hashem created the sky, the firmament. He rejected the notion God created the luminaries. He rejected God's control over water, over air, over land, over earth. Well, what's that place, that restaurant, you know? You know, land, air, space. You know, people, I don't know. I thought it's like the Museum of Natural History, right? Paro rejected God's control over nature. So Hashem wanted to demonstrate, you don't believe I control water, I'm going to turn the water to blood. You don't believe I control earth, I'm going to turn it to lice. You don't believe I control wind, I'm going to turn it to pestilence. You don't believe I control fire, hail. Each element of creation, God had to reaffirm and recreate. So God created the world with 10 statements. Paro rejected them. So what Sefer Shemos is, it's take 2. It's creation again. It's let's try this again. You didn't believe my first version. Now there's no way you could deny it. The Tzrar Hamar says, this is very fundamental. Friday night you make Kiddush. You say, Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. You also say, Zecher Lamase Bereishis. You say, I'm making an announcement now. What I'm about to do, I'm sanctifying the seventh day. It's to do what? To commemorate the creation of the world. And then you say, I'm sanctifying the seventh day to commemorate the Exodus. So, you know, make up your mind. What are you commemorating? You're commemorating Yetzias Mitzrayim, or are you commemorating Ma'abaisa Bereishis? The answer is, Yetzias Mitzrayim authenticates and verifies Ma'asa Bereishis. Okay? So, it would be interesting to identify which makkah corresponds to which statement of creation. Have you ever heard this part before? I hope you did. Because I've spoken about it many times. But, so this is like from more than 10 years ago, this principle. Okay? But we're reviewing it now so that we have it clear. And for those who never heard it, you have to know this principle clear. The 10 makos authenticate the 10 statements with which the world was created. So, how? Backward. So, for example, Paroi did not believe in Bereishis that God controls beginnings That's the first statement of creation. So Hashem demonstrate, really? You don't believe I created, I have control over beginnings? Makas b'choyrois, I'll knock off the firstborn. The first statement of creation is authenticated with the last makkah. Got that? What's the last statement of creation? Food. Hashem created food. Now, let's explain what food is. Many people are, I learned a new expression, it's called foodies. Are you a foodie? So let me explain to you what food is. You take a food, you put it in your mouth, you chew it. At this point of time, no matter how much you spent on it, if you would look at it, you would not pay anything for it. Okay. You then mix it with saliva, you ingest, you digest, you then break down the nutrients, and you sustain your body, and you turn the food into blood. That's what happens. Food is turned into blood. So paroi, you don't believe in the last statement of creation that I control food? Makas dam. Okay, so the last statement of creation is authenticated with the first makkah. Now, what do you think the second to last makkah corresponds to? The second to last makkah will correspond to the second statement of creation. Para, you don't believe Ayarm Elakim Yihiyar. You don't believe that I created the light. I turned on the light. Okay, I'll turn off the light. Very simple. So, statement number one, Bereishis, corresponds to the last makkah. Statement number two, Vayom Elokim Yihyar, corresponds to Choshech. Statement number 10, the creation of food, corresponds to Dam. The rest of them are not in order. So, Rav David Kohen, the Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron, is the one who says the order is backward, even though the only backward part is the first, second, and last. So I sent him a question. I said, but the rest of it is completely out of order. So how could you say the order is backward? It's, you know, 1 is 10, and 10 is 1, and 2 is 9, but the rest of it is haphazard. And he answered that, and it's published, we put it in the Sefer, that the order is established by the beginning and the end, the bookends. Fine. Now, over the years, we pointed out amazing connections between the makkah and the corresponding statement of creation. I'll remind you of a couple, but today we're here to do new ones. Okay? Some of the simplest ones we learned were, for example, makas b'chayrois is introduced with which mitzvah? You have makkah, dam, sfardeya, kinim, aroiv, dever, shchin, barad, arbe, choyshech, vayomer Hashem, hachoydesh azel lochem, roish chadashim, makas b'chayrois. That makas b'chayrois is introduced with hachoydesh azel lochem. Why is this mitzvah placed before makas b'chayrois? So we said over the years something amazing. We said, you know, Rashi, what's the first Rashi in Chumash? Rashi says, the Torah should begin hachoydesh azel lochem. Remember, what's the first Rashi? Why doesn't the Chumash begin HaChodesh HaZelachem? That's the Kasha of Rashi. So Hashem knows Rashi. Hashem says, Rashi, that's such a good point. If I ever recreated the world, I would start with HaChodesh HaZelachem. So Makas B'chayrois, which is Keneged Bereishis, Taka begins HaChodesh HaZelachem. It's astounding. Now, what does the word Bereishis mean? All the Mepharshim say Bereishis is the creation of time. This is, I know some of you out there, you know this. I'm just introducing. Bereishis is the creation of time. Therefore, time is recreated. HaChodesh HaZelachem. I'm going to tell you two quick more, and now we're going to learn all new. Arba corresponds to what? Vayomer Elokim Tad Sheya Oretz Deshe, Esev Mazria Zera, Eitz Peri Oise Pri. This is out of this world. God said, tree, taste like the fruit, right? Eitz, peri, oise, peri. Tree tastes like the fruit. Everybody knows the tree didn't listen. The tree didn't taste like the fruit. Only the tree tasted like tree. Eitz, oise, peri. The tree made fruit. It didn't taste like fruit. Go to Makas Arba. God tells Moshe, bring the Arba, and the Arba will eat the Eitz and the peri. And when the Arba came, it says the Arba ate all the fruits. And they didn't listen. It's unbelievable. The same way in creation, God wanted the wood to taste like the fruit, and it didn't listen. The arba didn't listen. That's the diuk of Rabbi David Kayan. A new idea we had that came after one of the svarim is barad. This is out of this world, but this is just so to whet your appetite for what we're about to learn. Who remembers what's makas barad? Hail. Rashi says hail was a miracle within a miracle. What was the miracle within a miracle?
Fire
in the ice. What? And if it would just be ice, let's say basketballs of ice came down. You know, one baseball-sized piece of ice that comes down from Shemayim will make a hole in the whole house and then the car. Right? Why do you need fire in it? No, it had to be fire in water. What's the idea that it has to be fire in water? The answer is, what does Barad authenticate? Vayyarem Elokim Yehi Rakia. Let there be a firmament. What's Rakia made out of? Rashi says, what's Shamayim? Eish Umayim. Fire and water. So in order to authenticate, God is capable of creating a miracle, fire and water together, Rabbi Hashem repeated that miracle. You ready? So I'm thinking, how come I never thought about Makas Choshech? What does Makas Choshech correspond to? Look at number 5. The Maral says, in the final words of number 5, HaChoshech hu Maka El Maimar Yehi Ar. Wow. The heavens opened up. It's like a flash of lightning. When God created that light, did that light stick around, or did that light not stick around? It didn't stick around. Why not? Because it wasn't going to be good for the Rishayim. God saw it wasn't going to be good for the Rishayim, so he had to take away the light from the Rishayim. He had to weed out the wicked. Rashi says, Vayar Elokim es ha'ar ki toiv. God saw the light was good. Vayavdel Elokim. God separated. Bein ha'ar u'bein ha'choshech. Says Rashi, Af bazen u'tzricham u'divrei agada. Ra'uhu she'enoi kedai l'shtamish b'risham. Ribbon Hashem saw it wasn't good for the wicked to use the light. V'hivdilei l'tzadikim. So the whole creation of the light was a creation and then weeding out and separating the wicked. So when Hashem authenticated the creation of the light with darkness, part of that was knocking off the wicked. It has to be, this has to be the makkah that Hashem, so to speak, knocks off the wicked. Because when Hashem created the light, it's the only part of creation where Hashem said, oh, wait a second. This is not going to be good if the wicked partake of it, so let's change it. You know, we can't have Rishayim here. So Hashem adjusted the light for the wicked. Likewise, this is the only makkah that Hashem adjusted the makkah to knock off the wicked. That's the pshat, right? David is maskim. It's amazing, right? It's incredible.
But even though
no questions. It's incredible.
But even though there were no rishayim at the time that
By the time of creation,
yeah,
Hashem saw this would not be good for the wicked. He knew they were coming. He knew they were coming. Okay, so that's the first parallel. Second parallel. I'll tell you, I was a little bit hazy about this point. So it says that Hashem created the Ar. What does Rashi say? This was what we call the special primordial light. And then Hashem stowed it away for the wicked. And we always said, does anybody know, how long did this primordial light last for? How long did it last for? So we always said over the years, what? 36 hours. Friday day, Friday night, Shabbos. 36 hours. Even though we said that all the years. The Bnei Yisachar mentions it, the Rekeach mentions it. Even though, come to think of it, that makes no sense. The light started to shine when Adam Rishon was born. Either the light was created on day one, or the light was created when Hashem created the sun. What do you mean 36 hours? So it must be, it was around, but man didn't use it. Man only used it for 36 hours. Okay. Does anyone have any idea? When did God hide away the light? How long did this original light of creation last for? I was never sure about this, because if you look in Rashi, there are different gersais. You may have heard, you ever hear, there are sometimes there are Rashis that there are certain words, and you don't even know what the word says, like b'chayrois, b'akurois, b'atsurois, dever. So look at number 8. This is day 4 of creation. Vayomer Elokim. There should be luminaries in the heavens. To separate between the day and the night. What day did God create the luminaries? On day 4. And the luminaries separate between day and night. So Rashi is bothered by Akasha. What do you mean the luminaries separate between day and night? Didn't God create light on day 1 and it just was light? So Rashi says, yeah. The original light of day 1 shone for 7 days straight. And then Hashem put it away. Did you know that? That even though there was day and night in the first 7 days, but it was always light. That's, who says that? Rashi. Ever hear of Rashi? Rashi says, you know when the sun and the moon separate between day and night? Misha ganaz ha'or arishain. From when the original light was put away. Aval b'shivas yimei bereishis, but in the 7 days of creation. By the way, you see in parentheses, some are goyres 3 days. Shimshu ha'ar v'choshech v'sham yachad. The light and the darkness serve together. Bein b'yom v'vein b'layla. You hear what Rashi's saying? Rashi's saying the when God said, v'yom al-kim yihi ar, it was light for 7 days straight. The Maral says that the Pasuk in Yeshaya supports Rashi. We always say, ka'ar shivas hayomim. No? And when do we say? In doesn't there a line over there? Ke'ar shivas hayamim. No? It's Wednesday. You have a siddur over here? Ke'ar shivas hayamim. And you sing Zemirais? What? It's in Kol Mekadesh, no? Yeah, I think so. That, I hope so. Yeah, you somebody want to support that? Tzidka samta tzir kiar shivas hayamim. That's the end of the song, yeah? All right. So that supports Rashi, that the original light of creation served the world for 7 days, and then it was ganaz. So ask Maral, what? Why was it Nignaz after 7 days? Shouldn't it have been Nignaz maybe after Adam sinned or when the sun came out? Like, what's 7 days? So Maral says, what's the reason it was Nignaz? Because it wasn't good for Rishayim. Which Rishayim? Adam Arishan, who did the Avera. So really, it should have been put away right after Adam sinned on Friday. But Adam sinned on Friday right before Shabbos. It wouldn't have been covered Shabbos for Hashem to take away the sun then. So Hashem let the original light serve the rest of Friday, Shabbos, and then Motzei Shabbos, Hashem was goynez, the original light of creation, supported by the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Ka'ar Shivas Hayamim. Comes the Ramban, and the Ramban says, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed, because it says Ka'ar Shivas Hayamim. It's an expression, Ar Shivas Hayamim. The original light served during the first 7 days, but not for all 7 days. During the original 7 days, the original light served, but for how much time? 3 days. So the Ar Hagana served 3 days, and then the sun served 3 days. So you had two types of light. The Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Ar, had two parts to it, according to the Ramban. It had Vayom Elokim Yehi Ar, the original light of creation, and then you had the Ma'oirois, which also we know the sun has. Where did Hashem hide the Ar Haganos? In the sun. So it means the Vayom Elokim Yehi Ar had 3 days of pure primordial light, and then 3 days hidden in the sun. So if God ever wanted to do Yehi Ar again, would He do 6 straight days of Ar? Or would He probably break it down into 2 different segments of light? I'm guessing it could be to keep things a little bit parallel. Maybe if, you know, we were doing a Makas Choshech and we wanted to replicate and authenticate Yehi Or, maybe we would do, let's say, 3 days of darkness to correspond to like the quasi light of day 4 through 6, and then to correspond to the real blinding primordial light, maybe we would do 3 days of darkness where nobody could move. That's exactly what happened. It's amazing, no? So Makas Choshech is a perfect parallel to the creation of light. So now we have a few things. Number one, why is Hashem dealing with the Rishayim in Makas Choshech to parallel what Hashem did to the Aragonos because of the Rishayim? Why is Hashem making Makas Choshech 3 days and 3 days to parallel the way the light was on day 1 to 3 and 4 to 6? And this fits in specifically according to the Ramban. By the way, even in Rashi, there is a Girsa. Hashem was going as Arishayim after 3 days. Okay? So there is such a Girsa in Rashi, but for sure, according to the Ramban, it comes out beautiful. No, Eitan? Right? It's unbelievable. But we're not finished yet. Because you could ask, wait a second. What's Hashem trying to authenticate? The creation of the light. So, Pari didn't believe God created the light. So, you're going to authenticate it by making it dark? Does that make sense? I mean, it's cute. But, oh, you don't believe I control the light? Okay, I'll turn off the lights. That just shows I control this subject. But wouldn't it be more logical? Is that really perfectly parallel? That Hashem is trying to authenticate Yehi Or, how? By making pitch blackness? And then I found the Malbim that's out of this world. The Chazal tell us that how did Hashem make darkness? That Hashem brought down the Choshech Shalmala. What does that mean, the Choshech Shalmala? Like the Pasuk says, Yashas Choshech Sisrai. He removes the darkness of his concealment. Really? The darkness of his concealment? God is in darkness, or God is blinding light? Says the Malbim, if you were a bat, what is the sun to a bat? It's darkness. The bat can't function in the sunlight. The bat could only function in darkness. The sun is darkness to a bat. Why is that? It doesn't have the faculties to assimilate the light. The light is so blinding that it literally shuts down all the systems of the bat. So the light is darkness for the bat. Let's explain as follows. If you came into the shir from outside and you came and all the lights in the building were turned off and you walked into this room, what would you do? You'd squint for the first couple seconds, and then, you know, the pupils, they would dilate, and they would allow you to assimilate the light until slowly, slowly you could open up your eyes. And what about if you go to the doctor and they really dilate your pupils? Then you can't tolerate it. So you have to close your eyes. So what do we see from there? Sometimes the brighter the light, the greater the darkness, because you can't tolerate it. If you can't tolerate the light, you are in complete darkness. You know, if you're driving and the guy in the car opposite you has his brights on, it's dangerous. You're going to go into complete darkness because you have to close your eyes. Says the Malbim, you think there was a plague of darkness? You don't even understand what the Makkah was. You know what Makkah's Choshech was? Remember on day 1 when God said, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or? And then he had to hide it away? Well, guess what he did on Makas Choshech? He brought down the Or HaGanos to the whole world. And the Mitzriim, they were blinded by it. And for the first 3 days, God kept the sheath on it a little bit so they could still, you know, function. But on day 4 through 6, it was unadulterated aragonos. They were in absolute darkness. They were blinded by the light. It wasn't makas choshech, it was makas or. And he doesn't say it to answer any of our questions. The Malbim just says it from Chazal, that based on the pasuk Yashes Choshech Sisrei, the Malbim says Makas Choshech was like what the sun is to a bat. You see, if you don't have any connection to Aragonos, you can't tolerate it. So you have to close your eyes. You know what Chazal say? That Hashem stowed away the Aragonos for Tzadikim Lasad Lavai, and He put it with a sheath on the sun, because human beings can't tolerate it. And on that day in Egypt, God uncovered the sheath. God removed the sheath. It was such blinding light. But Klal Yisrael were raised up to the Madrega that they were able to tolerate it. And therefore the Pasuk says, "Ulechol b'nei Yisrael haya ar b'mayishvoysam." It's not that it was an absence of choshech. It was light. That's what caused the darkness. It's not that, you know, we think all of a sudden the clouds came. Like if you were making a camp, a skit of this, you'd get the smoke machines, you know, going, and it would get thick fog. We think of it, thick fog was coming. And it became so thick, you couldn't move, you were frozen in place. That's not exactly what happened. Actually, that's not what happened. The light was so blinding. Blinding light is darkness for those who can't assimilate it. That's how the Malbim understands it. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baraditchev has almost an identical approach with a little bit of a twist to it. You're all familiar that many times in the Gemara, an Amoiro would give someone a bad look, and what happened to them? They would become Gal Shel Atzamos, pile of bones. You know that phenomenon? You know, the Gemara says somebody rubbed Reb Sheshes wrong, he looked at them, and they turned into a pile of bones. Many, many such stories in the Gemara. Like, what exactly is that process? What is the process where the Amoiro looks at you, not you, someone, and then they disintegrate, right? Like, they cease to exist. Okay, so we once learned from the Chassam Sofer, they extract a kernel of Kedusha, which keeps a person alive, and now, like, they're soulless, they're without any sparks. Rav Levi Yitzchak Baraditchev says a little bit differently. He says, God's light and brilliance and clarity of truth is infinite. And lo yirani adam b'chayit, no living person could see it. You can't behold it. Its brilliance is blinding, right? Lo yirani adam b'chayit. So what does Hashem have to do? It's called simtzum. He has to condense it. I'll give you one of my bad mashalim, okay? But based on the shirim, based on the technical part. So let's say somebody, if I wouldn't have this camera, somebody would use a dumb phone, okay? An Apple dumb phone, and would video this year. It would come out, because it's such a good camera, right? This camera is like, I don't know, 800 megapixels. An Apple phone is like, how many? Much higher. So instead of this year being 2.5 gigabytes, it could be 50 gigabytes. And then I try to put it up. The software can't handle it. It's too much information, right? So what do you need to do? You need to condense it. Condensing it means you make it smaller. How do you make it smaller? You basically lower the quality. You very often have to do that. You know, certain times you have to send things through a certain medium, but the information is too much, so you have to condense it. So God's reality, His light, is so bright, nobody could tolerate it. So Hashem has to be mitzamtzem His light. So He's mitzamtzem it, like, you know, 90% for the chayos, and 91% for the oifanim, and 92% for the malachim. And for us, Basar Vadam, Hashem has to condense His reality of light like 99%. Otherwise, we couldn't tolerate it. That's why angels can never move. They can never rise up. Because if they peak up like one level of light more than they can handle, they're done. They die. They would cease to exist. Says Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, that's the secret of that the Malachim have six wings. With two they cover their face, not to peak more than their light allowance. With two they cover their feet, not to look down at people who have to could only tolerate more condensed information. If a tzaddik has an issue with a guy, what the tzaddik will do is he'll reveal a great level of light and truth to that Russia, and the Russia will disintegrate by being exposed to a higher dimension of clarity than he's able to assimilate. So, malachim can never move because they're like capped, right? Like a malach could tolerate light 90% condensed. And oivdei kochav ma'azalos are also can't move because they're also stuck. So how does a Jew rise up? Because Torah and mitzvahs are levushim. They're a cloak. So, you know, you can't tolerate light, but if you have sunglasses, you know, you could tolerate it. So Torah and mitzvahs are not sunglasses. They're like a spacesuit, you know? How do the astronauts get closer to the ozone layer or the sun? They're wearing a spacesuit. Every time you do a mitzvah, every time you learn, you cloak yourself with levushim, you're able to appreciate less condensed truth and light. That's a mitzvah. Mitzvahs are levushim. Says Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, makas choshech was makas oyer. It was the unadulterated Ar HaGanos and the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Klal Yisrael were able to tolerate and the Mitzvah were not able to tolerate. So he asked, what killed the Rishayim during these days of Choshech? What killed these wicked during these days of darkness? The light, the Makkah killed the Rishayim. The light killed them. There was no Makkah of darkness. It was a Makkah of light. To the Mitzvahim, it was darkness. To the Jews, it was light, but some Jews couldn't tolerate it. I guess you could ask, well, the Mitzrim didn't die. Maybe God kept them around to, you know, Laman Tisaper, Ba'aznei Bincha. In fact, the Ma'ar V'Shemesh says, if you take the Rashi Tevois of Ulechal Vav, B'nei, Beis, Yisrael, Yud, Haya, Hey, Ar, Aleph, B'mayishvaisam, it's Shem Havaya. The light, six plus two plus ten plus five plus one plus two is 26. The light was the light of the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we coming back to our question, we asked, look, Hashem is authenticating by Yomar Lekim Yihi Or. Is that a perfect parallel that he authenticates it by creating darkness? Yeah, it's actually a perfect parallel. Because God said, you don't believe in the Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, that I have this primordial, powerful, blinding light? You don't believe in it? Oh, boy, will you believe in it. Look at its power. Look at its sheer. It will completely stop all function on your part. You can't behold the power of this Or HaGanos. So it's not that darkness authenticated light. It was a repeat of the Or HaGanos a second time. Okay, so I think we answered our questions in a very compelling way. What does it mean? What was the light? The light was the Makkah. That was the Or HaGanos. Why was the Makkah? Why did Hashem weed out the Rishon Davka Makas Choshech? Because it's a parallel of the second statement of creation by Yomar Lekim Yihi Or, where Hashem saw it was not good for the Rishon, so Hashem stowed it away for the Tzadikim. Likewise, in the Makkah that authenticates it, Hashem is concerned also that the Rishon should not participate. And I believe that's the reason why this is the only Makkah that was 3 days and 3 days, just like the original light of creation. It was 3 days of Or HaGanos, then God put it away, and then it's Vayihi Ma'oirois Perkiah HaShamayim. What killed the Rishayim? The light itself. Now, here's something very interesting, because another principle we spoke about over the years is that that just like Hashem made Makos and Mitzrayim, they will repeat themselves before the Gula Hasida. Not only will they repeat themselves, but the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim were a dress rehearsal of sorts, were like the pre-enactment of the miracles of La'asad Lavai. So that means Makas Choshech will have to repeat itself. And isn't it amazing? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, and yet we don't find, do we find anywhere where Chazal say, you know, in the end of days there's going to be darkness? And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Amr of Shem Ben Lakish, you're going to like the first part of this. Ein Gehenim La'asad Lavai. There's no purgatory. There's no Gehenim. I know what your Rebbe told you. There's no Gehenim. Ella, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moitzi Chama Min Artika. God will take the sun out of its sheath. Umakdir. Rishoim Nidoinim Ba. V'tzadikim Misrapim Ba. The wicked will be judged. The righteous will be healed. The wicked will be judged, like it says, Kihine hayoim ba boyar ketanor, v'hayu kol zedim chaloyse risha kash, and the tzaddikim will be misrapim, d'chsiv v'zar chalachem yerushmi. Not only will they be misrapim, elishim misadnim, they'll enjoy it. Right? You ever hear like the Chassam Sofer says, there's no Gehenim, there's no Gan Eden, it's just sheer. It's just sheer.
He did it for Yaakov too.
What?
He did it for Yaakov. Hashem took out the son, Miratika.
For Avram?
No, for Yaakov, when he had the fight with the Malach. So, he, to heal his Gid.
Oh, I mean, he healed Yaakov.
He took the Shemesh out, Miratika, and he healed him.
Just as an aside, I wonder if the way to be able to assimilate this light is you need Bris Milah. So, Hashem did it maybe. That's the merit, because that's Hashem took the Chama min Artika to Abraham, and what zuchus did Klal Yisrael have in Mitzrayim, even though they didn't do Bris Milah yet? Okay, we could think about that. So the Gemara says La'asad Lavai, there's no Gehenim. It's Hashem unleashes the Arhaganas, and that Arhaganas will completely destroy the wicked and will be a source of great delight for the tzaddikim. So that this is an example of Kimeit Seischem Eretz Yitzrayim, Erenon Aflois. Makas Choshech will repeat itself. Where? When? How? The Gemara says, Ein Gehenim La'asad Lavai. Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moitzi Chama Min Artika. So I saw one very interesting addition on this later today. And a sefer, I think I saw it about 30 years ago in English, and I found it in Lashon Kodesh. I don't think I ever quoted this author before. It's in a Sefer Pirkei Machshava of Rabbi Azriel Tauber. And he has a very interesting idea based on the Malbim. He says, think about what happened in Mitzrayim. It wasn't Makas Choshech, it was Makas Or. But the brilliant light of the Araganos blinded and darkened the Mitzrayim like a bat. Now we know, La'asad Lavai, all these miracles will play out again. So if I were to ask you, was it that, well, since Hashem brought darkness to the Egyptians, so Hashem wanted to keep it like an even playing field, so He brought light to the Jews, so that, you know, they had darkness and we had light? No, that's not what happened. It's God first brought light to us, and that caused the darkness. Now, I think we would all agree that in our times, the world is in great darkness and great tumah. The values of basic morality are so confused and so backward. It's a time of great darkness, maybe the greatest darkness in the history of the world. And many would say, but on the other hand, the Torah that's available today and the light that's available today is greater than any time in history. Yeah, maybe we don't have the level of Gedolei Yisrael we once had, but I'm telling you that the information we're learning tonight, I don't know that it was available even 10 years ago. I'm telling you. this stuff, it's out of this world. The depth of Torah that's available today, it wasn't available before to anybody. The Sfarim that today open up the Torah on tremendous dimensions, the light is getting greater. There's no question. Here, I'll give you a very simple example. You know, I like to say this. When I was a kid, in sixth grade, we had a test on Gemara. So how are you supposed to, if you didn't pay attention in class, or even if you did, what are you supposed to do? You could get Torah tapes, if you're lucky, if they had them in English. Some of them were in Yiddish. Or you could get a Sensina. The thing is, you know, the English that it was translated in was harder than the Aramaic. Okay, so, but then, maybe when I was in eighth grade, they came out with Art Scroll. But only for Hamafgid, first for Makkas and then Hamafgid. And then, not every Masechta we learned had Art Scrolls. And then every single Masechta has Art Scrolls. But Toisvis, you could get something called Mei Menuchais. Do you remember Mei Menuchais? It was an English literal translation of Toisvis. Now you want to know Toisvis? You get Art Scroll Toisvis. You get Masifta Toisvis. Any Rashi or Toisvis and Shas, is, you could get a million ways to explain it. So the light is greater. Now, would you say, well, of course the light is greater. Because since the darkness is so dark, so Hashem has to keep an even playing field. So there also has to be a commensurate light. That's what I thought until today. Or is the pshat, it's not that because there's such great darkness, therefore Hashem has to make it an even playing field and give us a commensurate amount of light. You know why things could be so dark? It's caused by the light. It's symptomatic of the light. The reason why there's so much darkness in the world today is because whether you realize this or not, the light that is available is unparalleled and unheralded in the history of the Jewish people. And some people can't handle that. They can't tolerate that. They don't know what to do with it. They're a bat. And when you're a bat, you go into greater darkness. So the darkness, you know, we always thought, oh, you know why there's so much light? Hashem has to encourage us and strengthen us. Yes, that's probably true also. But is there an element, and this is what I think Rabbi Tauber is saying. Not completely. I may have taken it a little bit further. But I think based on what we're learning, there's a very compelling understanding over here that the darkness of the world is because as we're getting closer to that finish line and the Ar HaGanuz is being revealed more and more and more, you got to be prepared for it. Because if you're not prepared for it, it could throw you into the greatest darkness ever.
Right, that's what they say, that before Mashiach, it's going to be the darkest before.
So, but the darkness is not that, is not Hashem makes it dark, but He also gives us an opportunity to have light as well, just so that things, it's the light is coming, and as things get lighter and lighter, either prepare for it, or the natural consequences is what happened. Vayet Moshe es yada el shamayim vayi choshech afeila b'chol eretz Mitzrayim loy ro ish es achiv. That's our generation. Loy ro ish es achiv v'loy kamu ish mitachtav. Can we not say about our times? You could go to people, they can't see in front of them black and white. There are people in this world today, they can't see right from wrong if it hit them over the head. You know why? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is showering His chesed on Klal Yisrael, because ulechol b'nei Yisrael haya ar b'mayshvay sinra. Rabbi Yisai, have a wonderful night. Shkoyach. Okay, this is one of my favorites. Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.